Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Midnight Agent Raw.
And I'm Okame.
We are the Super Media Bros Podcast, and we are founding members of the Odd Pods Media Network.
Looking for a new podcast? Check out the Infectious Groove Podcast. My name is Russ, and I host the show along with Michelle and Kyle. Every Monday, the three of us bring you music news and tell you our jammy jams, so you'll always have new music to check out. The Infectious Groove Podcast discusses music from nearly every decade and genre while openly displaying our passion for music you need to hear. On top of that, we have a thought-provoking main topic of discussion every week to get you thinking, discussing, and sharing music. We also include interviews with the music stars of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all major podcast platforms. Subscribe and listen to the Infectious Groove Podcast on your favorite podcast platform today.
Robin Hood. Robin the Hood.
What's your name?
Good Tea.
Mr. Banana.
All that and more.
Mexican Trump is coming to town.
Let's build that wall.
Super Media Bros.
Of death.
What you name? It's gonna be on that wall.
Should have been called Death Wall.
Death Wall, the wall of death. Just the title and the title backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to episode 157 of the Super Media Bros Podcast. I'm Midnight Agent Raw.
And we're good tea.
Yeah, we are. We're about to spill that tea, sis.
Thanks.
Good tea. Thanks.
I actually have Death Wish coffee in my hand, so it's not tea.
Trying to keep it real here. This is The Ripoff, starring Robert Bronzy, a.k.a. Robert Kovacs.
And boy, was he bronze.
Oh, yeah. Charles Bronzing.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel Baldwin. Like, what the fuck? Didn't expect that shit.
Just kind of for the record, this one might not be too long because there really wasn't much to go off of with this film, to be honest with you. But we'll try our best to do as much as we can with this one. But yes. So basically, it's random stranger. We assume he's Paul. We assume, but they never really give that away. But he's the same vigilante as before.
Right. And even the fucking write-up for this is like a vigilante with a mysterious past moves into a city that's been infested with crime and terror, taking the law into his own hands to protect a young mother and her child. I just want to know, what is he protecting them from? Because before we dive into where the beginning of this is, like, this man solely exists to put wads of cash into Anna's mailbox.
And was the other lead character in this film.
Right. So the movie opens with this dude standing outside. He's got a cigarette. You know, people have been there where you got your smoke, but you don't have a light. So out of the darkness comes
the bronze light.
Bronze light year. With a match.
Bronze light year.
Yeah, bronze light year. It's like, hey, you need a light? Sure, man.
You have to question, though, like, who is this random dude in my lawn lighting a cigarette for me? Where the fuck did he come from?
Where did he go?
Where did he come from?
Bronzy Joe.
But also, what's going on in the house? You wouldn't want to just have any fucking person just walk up and be like, oh, yeah, who are you?
No shit. Because what's going on in the house is pretty fucking disgusting.
So I'm not going to get into verbal detail. I'm just going to say there are things going on with certain age groups.
Yeah.
That's about as much as I'm going to get into. But yeah, he pretty much clubs the dude over the top of the head with his fucking gun.
And then he proceeds to use like 50 tie wraps to tie him up. Because the dude is so wide that he's just like, yeah, oh.
Let's just bring that out in the open. This guy was not a small person.
No, in fact, I think he might have been just as big as Howard, who got beach balled through the fucking window from Death Wish 5. I love that sound effect. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he fucking just knocks him the fuck out and ties him up. He hog ties him, to be correct, with these fucking tie wraps. So he goes inside the stranger. I'm just going to call him Fake Cursey or the Stranger or whatever for now until we reveal his name later. He just goes inside and he just sits on this chair.
He notices a innocent of age person, certain age.
Yeah.
Hiding in sheets. And he's hearing a whistle of the mockingbird, I think it's called, the mockingbird.
Yep.
This guy comes out of the bathroom and it's just like this middle-aged white guy. And he's zipping up his pants and it's just like, you fucked up.
If you're doing fucked up shit in front of Fake Paul Cursey, you've also fucked up.
Yep. Because he got the shit shot out of him.
Literally, dude, oh my God. Let's talk about that real fast. They mixed like CG and practical effects for the blood. And this one, I think this one was like a good combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
Because he shoots him in the stomach and then like again in the chest. And both times, it's just like a cascade of blood everywhere.
And also meat chunks. That would have been like ground beef.
It's like the fucking Chocolate Wonderfall Golden Corral.
Yep. Just some random, like, dead person. It's just like Golden Corral.
It's a blood fae.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so he blows this motherfucker away, and then we get introduced to DJ Daniel Baldwin. And I'm saying that because his name is Dan in this movie. It's like, am I going to get a cool character name? We're just going to call you Dan because that's your real name. All right, cool. Well, what am I supposed to do? Just give us your best Alex Jones.
Alex Jones and J. Jonah Jameson.
Except he's not asking for pictures of Spider-Man, and we're just so disappointed.
He wants pictures of Justice.
Oh, he's getting them all right.
Because we made this point the third time we saw him talk. It's not necessary. It was a lot of filler. He just basically talks about the crimes not being attended to in the city, but everything else that's very minor is basically being noticed. And we get it. It's like, where the fuck is all the police action going? It's going to the wrong places and yada, yada, yada. The government system's fucked up. We get it. We know. We didn't need the, I want to say like 15 minutes of that part of the film.
Yeah, because I think there's at least four spots where he's doing this shit.
I think it was three, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of lost count, to be honest with you. But dude, I just want to point out, this is the most poorly lit radio station I've ever seen in my life. I would know. And this man has like four microphones right in front of him.
He's talking through one, but yeah, he has like others just surrounding him for like the acoustics, I guess.
In case he needs to like turn mid-talk and start speaking into each one of them.
He's like, God damn it, my left side. I got to go on this one now.
No, I got to go to my right.
Like, I'm getting a fucking migraine on my right side. I got to talk on this side.
These microphones are going to turn the freaking frogs gay. It's crap. It's mega crap. So we get the opening credits right here. And one thing we definitely noticed right off the bat was that the music is really good.
Surprisingly, because it was by an artist called The Darkest. Was it The Darkest?
The Darkest Machines.
Darkest Machines. That's right. I was about to say Darkest Day. And I was like, no, that's not. That's definitely
nowhere near close.
So forgive me. But at the same time, we found out that the director, Rene Perez, is actually the same artist.
Yeah, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because whenever Cody Googled it, it's like, huh, he's done this director's work, like all his work. And then whenever they mention in the credits that it's the director, we're like, makes sense.
And a lot of the films, they share that same, I don't want to say goofiness, because there was some like the Insurrection, there was like a vampire movie I saw. Oh, here we are. The Righteous Blood and Cry Havoc. And they all, no offense, they all look like really good sci-fi movies. So I'm just going to say that out loud.
You mean like the channel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying they're, yeah. But that's the vibe I kind of got watching this film. Like it was a step up from sci-fi channel films.
This probably could have been on the El Rey Network. But if it was going to go on TV, that's what I'd put it on. But anyway, so we get a shot of this mom coming home to her house. Apparently, she just leaves her wheelchair-bound child just by herself. These are the people that are in immediate danger,
mm-hmm.
supposedly. but she's going to leave her daughter by herself in a wheelchair, 10 years old. What the fuck?
And she also makes a line whenever she brings the daughter outside to stroll through the neighborhood, which is basically around the house. It's not even the fucking neighborhood.
Yeah, because they're kind of in bumfuck Guam.
She was like going through the mailbox and she mentioned the line whenever she pulled out the envelope with the money. She was like, how did he find her address? Like, how did he find her address? Because she seemed concerned.
Right.
But I'm thinking to myself, who is he? Like, who is she mentioning that she's trying to run from, basically?
I don't think we ever find out, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And then it goes to fake Kersey just spying on them. And that also raises the what the fuck question. But it's meant to imply that he's responsible for giving them this money. Cut to two guys talking about making a drug deal. I love this scene. Fucking, they're just sitting there like, man, we need $500 more. We ain't gonna be able to pay this shit. Fake Kersey just strolls around the corner and they fucking look at him. You lost, son? Yeah. Well, how much you got? Six. $6? Six bullets. He fucking just shoots the fuck out of him.
Yeah, he like pulls the whole like gun in the pocket and just like holds it up and shoots him like straight. It was pretty glorious.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
He fucking robs them.
Yeah, that's kind of where we got the whole Robin Hood, Robin the Hood thing, because he just takes everybody's fucking personal belongings and their money.
But I have to talk about this part because I was losing my shit a little bit. It was so fucking stupid. He goes to this homeless guy, has like one of those barrels lit aflame for like the warmth and stuff. And he starts throwing the jewelry into the fire and he pockets the money. And he pulls out the cell phone and he gets a random text. But what I noticed was the phone was flipped upside down because you can see the charge port plug in at the very top of the phone. And he reads the fucking text message like nothing was wrong. I'm like, oh my fucking God. I was hoping to dear God they would have flipped the damn phone over. But no, he fucking rolled with it.
It's like, fuck it, we're doing it live.
So I'm just like, oh my God.
It just cracked me up because you would think like that. They probably shot that in one take because the director's like, fuck, we're just going to shoot everything in one take.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob Bronzy like pulls that shit up. He probably got the director like, it's upside down. And then like he probably mumbled under his breath, fuck it. And he just starts like a fake typing, but he probably types upside down.
Yeah, because he actually responded to the text, or he responded like he opened the phone or something while it was upside down. So I'm just like, dude, you have some tech skills there if you have to do it upside down.
You know, I didn't notice this before, but I'm kind of questioning it now. Did he still have his gloves on when he was doing that shit?
I don't think so.
Okay, I was going to say, because if he did, that would have been even funnier.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, these leather gloves double as like, you know, texting gloves or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? Those fucking gloves.
Yeah, they have a certain material on the tips.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's just like, check this shit out. I'm high tech as fuck. But anyway, so the text message that he gets is their dealer arriving at the airport and all this other bullshit. He shows up to the airport and finds this dude. And he's sitting there holding his stomach like he's got to take a shit. But we know what's going on. He's hitting the drugs in his fucking stomach.
He'd be packing.
Yeah. So the stranger walks up, flashes the money at him. And that dude stands up and he's like, I don't even know who you are. So our boy, Mr. Fake Kersey, just punches him and knees him in the stomach and bursts the bag of drugs in his stomach.
And he goes fucking full on cyanide capsule in his mouth.
That'd be a good X-Lax commercial or like a, not an X-Lax commercial. It'd be a good fucking Alka-Seltzer commercial.
Mm-hmm. When you got that heartburn.
When you're feeling that punch in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
When you got to take a shit. And justice punches you in the gut. Alka-Seltzer.
My question at this scene, though, was how did nobody see him, like, gut check that dude and then walk out?
Right. Like, they're supposedly in an airport, like, way late at night. And it's made to look like it's dead as fuck in there.
Which it wasn't.
First of all, this thing could have housed a hair care and tire salon next door to it because it was fucking small as shit.
Right. Almost looked like a bus station.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. It's like, let's go shoot at this bus station and just call it an airport.
It'll work, you know.
Fuck it.
Nobody will question it.
Nobody's going to question it. This is Death Kiss.
We will.
Exactly. I also want to point out that since this is a knockoff, I would assume our boys wear a knockoff cologne. There's got to be.
Like, you guys out there know those, like, packs of, like, three or four colognes, and it's, like, this brand, reminiscent of Armani Code, or reminiscent of Giorgio Armani, or whatever what the fucking name are. Like, that's pretty much what we're thinking is like that Walmart, like, $20 pack of like four little teeny tiny bottles.
He's wearing BOD.
Yeah. You know,
that's probably what he's wearing.
You know, okay. When I was in high school, I actually did wear that shit. So go ahead.
Well, no, what I'm saying is he's probably wearing it because like the shit they would market to us like 15, 20 years ago, they're still trying to make ends meet. So like, oh, we can still sell it at Walmart.
It's not BOD, it's MOD because it's modified.
Exactly. Oh, Jesus fuck, yes. We cut back to DJ Dan Baldwin. And he's like, you guys know what a Keister Bunny is? And I immediately fucking knew where he was going with this. And I'm just like, oh my God, he's really going to do this.
Happy Keister.
That's whenever they take drugs up the ass and Peter Cottontail in jail. Peter Cottontail. Like, not literally, but...
That's basically what he does. Like, every time Kersey 2.0 or 1.5, I don't know. Whenever he does his deed, he has a next scene where it's Daniel Baldwin going, yeah, you know about that kind of crime? And it just happened. I have a problem with that.
Crime don't pay. No. This is Gruff. This is Gruff McGruff.
This is Dan McGruff.
Crime dog. Arf. But no, they cut back to the mom and daughter's house, right? And we see this dude walk by, digging in their trash can and taking their fucking mail, but he drinks a beer that's in the trash can. I don't think... Guys, look, I toss garbage for a living, okay? I drive a truck. I've seen the shit you motherfuckers put in these cans. I almost vomited in my mouth when I saw this shit. I don't give a fuck. So I'm just like, ugh.
You know, it makes me wonder, like, homeless people have no limitations when it comes to what they put in their bodies.
He didn't look homeless, though. That's the fucked up part. He looked like he was just kind of unshaven or unkempt a little bit, but he looked like he, you know, he might have been, but still, that was just
it wasn't God. A passable homeless person in our brains.
No, but he does this and he takes the money and fake curse. He just beats him the fuck down. He's like, run. He doesn't shoot him, but he's just like, run. And then this is whenever the mom kind of confronts him and she's like, who are you? Why are you sending this money? You want to come get some coffee? What? Like, that's like the third fucking question.
Yeah, okay. So, about this part of the film is whenever I started speculating what was going on. My first thought, and I'm going to mention the rest of them as we go along, but my first thought was that was his ex-wife and kid, and she felt like, oh, well, we got to run from this guy because he's crazy. He's murdering people. I don't want my daughter or his daughter around him. Thankfully, that was proven wrong. So I was like, okay, round two, what is going on? Now, round two, I thought maybe this was his actual daughter and grandkid, but she doesn't know because she doesn't know who her real father is growing up.
Right.
So that was the intention I was coming up with. Like, okay, this is why he's doing what he's doing because he feels bad for what he's done and not spending time with his kid and grandkid, basically.
So they're not having coffee. They're having tea. And she's like, so my daughter calls you the fairy godmother. So like, what's your actual name? He takes a sip. Good tea. Thanks.
We forgot to mention, though, they dub over his lines.
I was about to say that.
Yeah. Because whenever he said run to the homeless dude, it was just so obvious, like, run. Which they did a good job of like actually syncing up his mouth movements to the actual lines. So yeah.
This is so fucked up, but like at one point Anna is like, this property is very nice, you know, thanks to you, blah blah blah. They've only been there a couple months, you know, because they keep getting this money and all this other shit. She's like, gives my daughter the urge to run. And I was just like, fucking hell, she's wheelchair bound. Poor
mom.
Poor fucking choice of writing.
Yeah. Ouch, mom.
But he tells her, he's like, I do questionable things, but it evens things out to give you money. Then these random fuckers, the only person I know is Tyrell, who was a giant piece of shit, and brings in this guy named Billy.
Young Billy.
I hope it's one of the Billys that blew our podcast compound up a couple Christmases ago.
Because fuck you.
Fuck you, Billy. Go listen to our Die Hard and Lethal Weapon episode if you want to know more about that bullshit. Anyway, they take him in and he was supposed to like, I guess, off somebody in a court case that put his kid in jail or some shit.
Something.
So he's like, you're a big old fucking pussy and you're not a fucking cold-blooded killer. And he berates one of his lackeys for vouching for this dude, so they bring him to the back to prove himself.
Because he swears he's a Stone Cold killer. It's like, okay, we'll fucking prove it.
All right, Steve Austin.
He's like, so where's the gun? He's like, are you fucking shitting me? I'm like, and I thought the same thing too. It's like, dude, if you know how to kill, you shouldn't need a gun.
No.
But the dude was pissing his pants, like trying to ask these questions. But Tyrell was like, nope, here you go. He throws him a fucking bat. Use it. Use
Louisville that. Fucking slugger.
Mm-hmm. And we noticed that there's this bound up dude with everything on him covered up from head to toe. Like, so you don't know what the fuck is going on. So Billy asks, who is this guy? And he says, it doesn't matter. Which, again, I thought the same thing. Why does it matter if you're a killer? But anyway, proceeds to swing at this guy's face. And you can just see the fucking paint, like blood red, just on that fucking burlap sack on his head.
Oh, dude. I mean, he it's like he busted a ketchup packet open.
Or he busted the whole bottle open.
Right. Busted wide open.
Mm-hmm.
We forgot to mention a line that cracked us both up. Because they were going to kill him at first. They were going to kill Billy. And Tyrell's like, hold him tight. I'm going to cut his little dick off. And the other guy goes, don't cut his dick off. Let him do the guy.
Do who?
Do who, you ask?
Do the victim in the back? Okay.
All right.
Mm.
So yeah, he kills the shit out of this dude. And you fucking called this shit.
Because Tyrell was getting a little too praiseworthy of Billy's antics. And I was like, oh, this dude probably threw like a brother or dad or friend in there. And lo and behold, he's like, oh, it's daddy.
What's behind door number one? It's daddy. Oh, no, dad, my God. His fucking eyeball popped out of his skull.
And Billy lost his shit.
And then Tyrell was like, yeah, we're just going to, you know, fuck with you the rest of the time that you're alive. We're not going to kill you right away. I'm going to. We thought we were going to get out of this franchise without another rape scene, but goddamn it, here we are. Brings this dude's, I don't know if it's his wife, his girlfriend, or whatever, but brings her in and.
Suggestive motions.
Yeah. Until fake Kersey shows up and shoots everybody in there, including Billy, who the dude with the mohawk holds hostage. And he's fucking sitting there and he's just like, I'll fucking kill him, man. He's like, I don't know him. Shoots right through the guy.
And it actually goes through him into the fucking dude's neck behind him.
I'm sorry, the dude with the beanie.
Yeah, the beanie. But we forgot there was a moment where Billy was trying to escape. But then once he saw what happened, he actually started pulling the dude's gun to his head to try and shoot him because he was done.
Right.
And I was like, that was actually pretty decent little part right there, because like you get to see, and I'm not supporting the idea, by the way, but you get to see like how the personality and the psyche just gets fucked so fast. He's like, I'm tired of this. I don't want to see it anymore. Just in my misery.
Yeah, like in that moment.
Yeah. But yeah, he ends up shooting Tyrell in the fucking elbow. He runs off like a little pussy bitch. And then dude with the snake bites or whatever the fuck those piercings are. I think they're snake bites.
Yeah, they're snake bites.
Yeah. Ends up going out and they have this chasing in a car junkyard.
Took way too long, but there was like one, they do repeat this later on. There's like a POV shot where it's just, you see fake Kersey holding the gun, and they do repeat it a few times throughout the rest of the movie. It's pretty cool though.
Mm-hmm. It was like that movie Hardcore Henry.
Yeah, I like that movie too.
Where it's just all first person.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a severely dragged out chase scene. And I mean, they could have just done it like
2 minutes tops
at least, but it was like at least 5 minutes.
Let's talk about the part that pissed both of us off though. The dude grabs a fucking, like, we were talking about fake Kersey. He grabs a fucking car door off of one of these things, because at one point this dude, the snake bite guy, gets an Uzi. Now wouldn't you be aiming for the face? He's shooting at the car door while Kersey's just walking up to him with a fucking six shooter, missing. Finally shoots him in the legs. He goes back and grabs old girl, brings her outside, and he's like, well, you've seen my face, shoot this guy.
And she's, I can't do it, I'm not a murderer. Okay, whoever wrote the dialogue for this scene, I got questions. How do you make this hardcore badass dude say the only word, two words, fucking whore, over and over and over? Because he was basically demanding this chick to shoot him, but can only say fucking whore the entire time.
Fucking shoot me then, you bitch, you fucking whore, fucking shoot me then, you bitch, you fucking whore, like over and over.
That's what he said. And I'm just like, can you be a little more creative? Like, you're an actor. You can have some kind of like creative freedom to go, I can say something different here and see if it works. No, he just said fucking whore, shoot me, fucking whore. Shoot
That's what
me.
She does.
Yeah, because she got tired of being called the same thing over and over again.
Shot him right in the dick. Yeah. And then Tyrell goes to Drew Barrymore's house.
Which this scene was funny to us, like, as an inside joke, because he was talking about, you know, he couldn't be away from her, and she was getting clean because he brought out a bag of goodies, and it was a fucking, like, two syringes, and looked like the one of those red, like, foil bags, like, candy wrapper shit. And we're thinking to ourselves, like, oh, it must be like heroin or something. It's like, no, it must be like sugar.
It's like liquefied sugar. He's like, I know you like the sweets, bitch. I got some.
Look at you.
I got something for you.
You know, I came clean out of diabetes.
She's like, fuck you.
We know that's not a joke, but still.
Yeah. And then to kind of skip through some shit right here, fucking fake Kersey shows up to Anna's house with money. And he looks down. I don't know if he like was looking at a pile of shit in the yard or what. It's like, you have a big dog? No, it must be one of the coyotes. Do you have a gun? And then immediately after, she's like, can you stay for lunch? How about if I insist? Well, in that case.
What you offering?
Right? He brings in this big fucking, and they literally call it this. She's like, is that a keyboard? And he's like, I wish.
And there was just awkward silence.
Yeah. Yeah, then she tells him, she's like, oh, what I'm about to tell you might make you stop bringing me money. She's like, you send the money because you think we're victims of circumstance. Well, I used to not be so good. I used to get high and drink a lot, blah, blah, blah. I was a party girl. In a party world. Went to a dealer's house and had my daughter with me, and the dealer was in a shootout, and a bullet flew through the door and hit Isabel in the spine. There's where we start getting some exposition.
An hour into the film. A fucking hour. It took them to tell us why anything's going on.
Right.
But.
I love it. What's your name? Can you just give me an initial?
K.
Mr. K.
But I wonder if he said K, like, okay.
I would have laughed my ass off.
So she literally took it as like Mr. K, and he's just like, he's fucking stupid. Okay.
It's like, this bitch didn't let me finish, but fuck it.
I was spelling my last name.
He's probably eating Special K.
He's regular.
He's feeling very irregular.
Well, there was that one part where Anna and the daughter were talking. She was like, what did he look like? Was he a tall, skinny person or a regular person? Well, he's pretty regular.
Yeah, he's pretty regular if he's eating all that fiber. What's in the case? It's a big-ass rifle. He's like, for your coyote. Okay. And then we get like this really weird teaching her to shoot montage, and I gotta say, this was borderline Derek Savage teaching that one chick to fucking shoot a gun on his self-defense for ladies video.
But much higher standards.
Right.
But now, I'm just gonna throw this out there. Keep in mind my second theory as we explain the rest of this part. So, while this slow motion, it's slow motion, gun sequence is happening, Anna is very obvious about her facial expressions and her interaction when he does something or he touches her or he verbalizes something, which he doesn't, you can't see anything or hear anything, but still. So at this point, me and him are like, just please, dear God, please don't make it happen to what I'm thinking is going to happen. Because at this point, we're thinking that she's kind of feeling something.
She's feeling some kind of way.
A little.
But she's like, I need some Special K in my diet.
Yeah. Pump action.
I need to get some Special K all up in my guts.
Yeah. But yeah, she ends up, which by the way, this shotgun was weak. I have to say, because the kickback on that thing was so fucking minor.
And it was so big, dude. That's what I was laughing at, too. It was like, that gun itself was overcompensating.
Yeah. Because that girl was tiny, and that gun was, it had to pack a lot more punch than that. That shoulder would have been, like, dislocated, or that gun would have flew. But another problem with this scene was he was instructing her how to handle the gun, not so much shoot, but how to handle the gun. And when they were done shooting, she points the barrel into the ground and puts her weight on top of the stock. So she's burying the barrel into the dirt.
Gonna clog that fucking barrel.
I'm like, come on, dude. First of all, Kay, why are you not doing shit? Like, bitch, you're dirtying my damn shotgun. I have to fucking clean this shit because you're stupid.
He probably looked down and he's like, I don't know if I'm going to let you handle my dick with the way you're dirtying that rifle.
Because all the thing you do is you're just going to point in the ground and be like, so, are we done?
You going to knock my dick in the dirt, bitch? But anyway, like, he goes and walk off and she's like, can you come back tomorrow? You can come between 9 and 2 if you don't want to see Isabel or whatever. And he just kind of looks at her like, maybe I will.
And there was the implied just
sexual tension.
I know you feel a certain way and so do I. So come when my daughter's not here. Please, dear God, just say that you're her dad.
No shit. So he stops a mugging at a food stand. The way that this motherfucker shoots back at Kay. He jumped off the ground every time he shot off around.
The dude with the Tims and the fresh fade, as was mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a little hop in his step with the fucking recall the gun, like projects him off the ground. Exciting. That was another thing too, like when home dude, the snake bite dude was shooting that Uzi, he had the fucking shells flying into his face and I thought one of them was going to fall into his mouth.
Yeah, his mouth was wide open. It was like one of those giant wide open smiles you give where you're just like, ha!
Like that just reminded me of that part, but yeah. So he chases him into a fucking soccer field like behind the shop. And from about half the soccer field's length, he shot this dude with a fucking revolver, like clean shot.
Yeah, like way the fuck away. And then just runs up to him and busts it wide open again.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to Anna. Oh, just waiting. This is obviously not between 9 and 2. This is at night. Mr. K shows up in a white shirt with a white tie and some fucking slacks. And we both know what's going on. She's wearing her best high-rise flannel, low-rise jeans from like 1999. Shows her tits. Is this what you want? And he's just like, ugh. Like he doesn't do it, but he just looks like he's got this fucking sad, just blah, 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 fucking look on his face. And it's so funny.
Yeah, home dude looks down like just, mm-mm. I can't look at you.
And he fucking leaves. And she's like, oh, you won't even tell me what you do. And he's like, if you know what I do, you'll never want to see me again.
Which coming up, we. Yeah.
Right. So we cut back to DJ Dan, who gives another one of his fucking rants. But then after the fact, he kind of looks over and apparently he's been giving Mr. K tip offs about all the criminal activity. And we're finally sitting here like, oh, that's why you're here.
Yeah.
But you raised a very good question on this scene. It's like, where is this dude getting any of this intel from?
Because he's voicing his opinion to all the public. Who would give this man information? Like, he's literally talking about how where there's no justice. Nobody's taking out the drug dealers and the rapists and the murderers. Like, who's telling home dude, hey, there's a rapist right there. There's a murderer right there. There's a drug dealer right there.
Right.
Go kill.
Yeah, I was going to say, so he tells Kay where Tyrell is. Tyrell is out in the fucking woods with two brand new goons with this dude tied to a tree. And he's like, I'm going to feed you to the coyotes and the wolves and all this shit. So what does he do to this man to attract these fucking animals?
He gets some barbecue Ray or some, I don't know what flavor it was, what brand, but some barbecue sauce.
What if it was JR's barbecue, like Jim Ross's barbecue?
The slobber knocker.
Exactly.
Right there.
He's like,
from the wolves.
He's like, we're going to slobber knock the fuck out of your balls.
Mm-hmm.
He starts like pouring it on him and shit. I was like, what the fuck, dude?
I didn't think that nature had a taste for barbecue sauce, but I could be wrong.
It'd be really hilarious if all the animals that like are predators and they're hunting and shit, they fucking catch like whatever they're going to eat and they kill it. And then they go, ugh, no barbecue sauce. Fuck this. And they just walk away.
Yeah. But they're probably one of my favorite lines in this whole fucking film. You gotta watch out for the predators. They're coming. I'm already here. Fucking here comes Kay with a fucking revolver around the tree. I'm already here.
He man, he fucking starts shooting. He shoots the one guy. And then he's having a really hard time shooting Tyrell and the other guy. Well, the tree guy gets fucking shot. And so now there's, you know, ketchup and barbecue sauce everywhere.
Or cranberry sauce. We don't fucking know at this point.
It's definitely not cranberry sauce. Mm. So Mr. K has one bullet left. There's a dude crawling, dying. So he shoots that guy, takes his Uzi, and he shoots the other guy. And then he shoots Tyrell in the leg and then fucking throws a goddamn fucking rock at this man's head. Just,
oh, yep,
there.
Makes no damn sense. He literally just lights this dude's fucking knee up. And just picks up a, I mean, a rock the size of some dude's head.
It's like a boulder.
And just throws it and pow, knocks him out.
I won't hurt you.
Oh.
Oh.
But he ends up chaining him to the tree, dousing him in barbecue sauce and everything. Now, but we get the exposition here.
Yeah, because he's like, why are you always coming for me? It's like the third time.
This is the very tail end of the film, because when we had the scene with Anna, the last, it was like 15 minutes left. And I'm like, what the fuck are they going to do for 15 minutes now?
Yeah, like, how are they going to tie this movie together? There's been really no, like, high stakes here or anything.
So Kay asked Tyrell, do you remember the first time we met? Yeah, you came to my house. Yeah, and you were selling drugs out of your house. And he's like, yeah, you shot my place up. What of it? Well, apparently, they met the same night that Anna was there with her kid. That was the dealer, was Tyrell. And he wasn't sure if it was his bullet or Tyrell's bullet that hit the kid. So now he's basically saying, we both deserve to die, but my time is coming soon. But you, on the other hand, you're going to repent for that shit.
And then we proceed to get this movie's version of not the bees. And he's like, not the BBQ sauce. No. He's got like maybe like a quarter of the bottle left. So it's not even very much. He's just like, yeah, here you go.
And we get stock footage Wolf from like Blue Planet or something.
It would be fucking hilarious if we do see that same shot of a wolf in like a Disney documentary or something.
It's like, hey, you ate Tyrell.
I know you. Good dog. Good boy.
You like barbecue sauce, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, because he's begging him. He's like, won't you just take me to the police? Take me in. And Mr. K's like, no law, only justice.
And sauce.
Yeah. And so there's a shot of Anna and Isabel at the table opening up yet another package of money. And Mr. K walking off through the city with, you know, even more good music playing. And that's the end of the movie, because why the fuck not?
Which, thank fuck, he wasn't her dad.
Yeah, no shit.
But at the same time, I'm thinking to myself, dude, you could have gotten like that. Come on.
Yeah. That guilt was eating him up, though.
Oh, I know.
So Mr. Banana, Mr. Potassium, Mr. K.
The bronze banana.
Honestly, he looked just like him from a distance. Like, you can tell it's obviously not Bronson by any stretch of the imagination, but goddamn, like, that was the selling point for this movie.
The brow was too furrowed to be Bronson.
True.
But at the same time, if this was a long time after the fact, he could have been so pissed off that he just stayed looking like that.
Right. So, comparatively speaking, it's nothing like the Death Wish franchise, aside from the look of the guy and the weapon he uses.
And the vengeful axe.
Yeah, I mean, this movie probably would not have been made if this dude was not, like, a thing.
Mm-hmm. See, my take on this film is they took the aspects of Death Wish of, hey, you like murdering people? Let's just do only that and throw a sprinkle of exposition in.
I mean, if you're going to sell it like, hey, this is an action movie that gets right to the point and starts the action. And I mean, this is a movie for you.
Yeah.
Would I say rent it? No. If you can stream it for free, I think it's on Tubi. I know it's on Prime because that's where we watched it. Like, if you have a Prime account, you can watch on Amazon Prime, but I think it's free on Tubi. Check it out. I mean, it's not the most amazing movie in the world, but it's not terrible either at the same time. It's just kind of so-so.
It's got its moments, just like all the other films, but this one's really low on the poll for me.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't as disappointed as I thought I was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess check it out if you want to. And if not, I mean,
you're not missing much.
No, we've given you the whole movie right here. But, you know, if you want to see it for yourself, go for it. So next month, we are going to break away from all things Death Wish and Death Kiss. And we're going to bring you a Cult Cinema Showdown for the ages. Not really. we're going to give you Munchie versus Mac and Me. It's like, how much can we rip off E.T.? But we'll find out. You'll find out.
Family-friendly creature film.
Yeah, like in fact, I think the next two Cult Cinema Showdowns are both PG/PG-13 rated films, because the one we're going to do after that is Masters of the Universe versus Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon.
Glass Gordon, a glass half
Flaccid full. Gordon. Oh.
Oh. Flaccid. Oh.
That's why he's always so fast.
He doesn't have all that weight weighing him down.
The guilt is weighing him down. That's why he's flaccid.
And then when he gets erect, he sees a woman walk by. Ass. Oh.
Ow.
Ow. But yeah, so get ready for that shit. And also, we're going to do another four-year reviewing pleasure series on Straight Shot Holmes' new full-length album in retrospect. And we're actually going to be doing a crossover episode with our friends from Podeskew, who are also on the iPods Media Network. And we'll bring you more details about that when it gets closer.
Yeah.
But that's your February lineup. Oh, we forgot to mention, we're not going to reveal it just yet, but Cody and I have a President's Day episode in mind for you guys. Yeah. We don't really do this shit, but with the movies that we've found, we have to do this shit.
And everybody who listens to this is smart enough to know, like, it's got to be something corny. It is.
It's got to be garbage. It is.
Yeah.
Would it be us if it weren't garbage, though?
Yeah.
I mean, some of these movies that we do talk about, we're like, yeah, these are pretty good. But most of them, it's like, oh, man.
We review it so you don't have to.
That's right. We fuck with it so you don't have to fuck with it. We trash it so that your trash can stays a little more empty.
Mm-hmm. For actual trash.
That's right. Until the homeless dude from Death Kiss comes and steals it and drinks it. Or whatever.
Or whatever he fucking wants to do with it.
Right.
Live in the trash can.
Check out all the other episodes on supermediabrospodcast.com. Visit our YouTube channel and subscribe to it. Leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. Buy some merch. Check our social media channels out. I mean, you know the drill.
Hell, if you're like a diehard, like, fake Charles Bronson fan and you think we're wrong for saying everything about him, say so.
Yeah, tell us how you are going to deliver justice against us.
Oh, that could be even a good, like, tag us in a photo. It's like, hey, how do you deliver justice to us for wrongfully telling our point of view of anything?
Yeah, if you disagree with us, tag us and maybe put your favorite GIF in there or something. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. And it's not like we're ending Death Wish Month on a bad note. It was a little more, you know, decent than we thought. But still, check all the movies out. You be the judge. Jury.
Executioner.
That's it.
But I have to ask, like, out of all the films we've watched, which one is your favorite?
Out of all six of these?
All of them.
Death Wish 3 by far.
See, I'm kind of torn between the remake and the original, because the original, you know, introduces you to everything, and it's really hard to kind of bring that first feeling back, I guess. And then Bruce Willis did a good job, which, contrary to whoever fucking disagrees, I don't fucking care. I thought that rendition was really good.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it was more grounded. It was more emotional. It was more realism to it. More expectation of, like, okay, this could actually happen and not be so corny, which I do appreciate the corniness of their other ones, but still, I like the original and the remake pretty much.
Yeah. And I'll go ahead and say, okay, from an entertaining standpoint, Death Wish 3 is my favorite. It's the most fun. But if you're going in terms of, like, what movie was just, like, flat out good, it's absolutely the original and the remake. There's always a toss up. You know, you're going to have people that lean towards the original more. You're going to have people that maybe lean towards the remake. I mean, I'm kind of down the middle with it. I like them both. But Death Wish 3 has just, like, so much fun packed into it that I just cannot help but fucking watch.
It's fucking the war of the geriatrics and the thugs. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like seeing old people fight criminals?
It's the Golden Girls versus the Lost Boys. Come on now.
There you go.
I'm telling you. Could you just imagine Betty White just cascading bullets down on Kiefer Sutherland?
I don't have to imagine it because Betty White is that badass to do it. I know that chick. Especially after her in Lake Placid.
No shit. Okay. That movie will come up in Cult Cinema Showdown, because we have a giant to-do list. Like, just so everybody out there knows, we absolutely have a gigantic fucking to-do list for these movies.
And I've seen the list.
Yeah. It's longer than Flash Gordon's dick.
It's longer than our dicks.
Combined.
And that's not impressive.
Not at all. Anyway, you want to get the fuck out of here?
Yeah.
All right.
Before we start demoralizing ourselves
even more. I mean, we put this podcast out every week. That's enough. So
yeah.
Shit.
Let's start throwing our dick sizes out there. Because why the fuck not?
You just...
No, that's just our hand, okay?
Yeah, we're...
If it was our dicks, it'd be like...
No, if it was our dicks, it'd be the ping from the fucking dodgeball.
That's what happens when we go in. Ping. Ping. They're like, did you get in?
Yeah. If you can't dodge it, ram it.
You can dodge some comb. You can dodge some balls.
If you can dodge our balls, you can dodge anything.
It's an understatement.
Yeah. That was episode 157, Death Kiss, the ripoff. Until next month, I've been Midnight Agent Raw.
And I'm Okami.
Shades on.